serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Wednesday. God bless you. Happy hump day to you. Hey, we're midway through this week already. No better thing to do today than sit under the Word of God. Let's let the Word of God minister to us here today. Now, today you're going to hear the sermon I just preached on Sunday. And it's probably as it was delivered originally by the Apostle Paul in Athens, probably the greatest sermon of all time. It's a textbook sermon, and it literally is in the textbooks on how to preach a sermon, how to do it right. It's Paul's sermon on Mars Hill. So this will play today and tomorrow. That's what's going on here at the church. We're going through the book of Acts. It's been an outstanding sermon series here as the Lord has been really moving each and every week. And I invite you to attend one of our services. We will be in Acts chapter 18 this coming Sunday. We would love to see you. One of our church members, Bill Steinbrook, is going to be teaching on evangelism tonight at 6 o'clock. So you're invited for that as well. If you're tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast, you've got 28 minutes to make it to Island Community Church tonight. It's called Let's Talk Evangelism. It's how to be a good defender of the faith, how to be obedient to what the Lord said through Peter to us, to everyone be ready to give a defense. That's the Greek word apologia, where apologetics comes from, and that is the ministry of defending the faith. When someone comes up and asks you, why are you a Christian? What do you say to them? That's what this class is. It's a 3-week class. This is the second week. You are invited. We'd love to see you. If you're unable to attend, you can watch it on live. Our Facebook feed will turn on live right at 6 o'clock, and that is the Island Community Church Facebook page. Either way, I invite you to join us here. I know that this class will be beneficial to you, as it is for me. I'm always need to learn to be a better evangelist, because sometimes that makes us all nervous, you know, standing in front of people or speaking in front of people or having to explain our faith or something to others. That's something that we all go through, so you're not alone. I do it too. Same thing happens to me. So, okay, let's get into the Word. This is Paul on Mars Hill. It's going to be a fascinating sermon. And then he's going to climax this with that God has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he's proven all this by raising him from the dead. That's where we're at here today. Have a wonderful day, and let's get into the Word. We're in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. This morning, another power-packed week and another power-packed chapter here. What an excellent service we had in here last week, wasn't it? The God is really moving in here, and he keeps adding new people in here who love the Word of God. I don't know if you know it or not, but that's why you're here today. Because your spirit on the inside of you loves and longs for the Word of God. And here is where your spirit, man, eats and becomes full. That's why you leave here so happy on Sunday morning. Now, we left off 2 weeks ago in Acts chapter 16. If you recall, Paul and Silas were thrown into prison for casting a demon out of a woman and for telling people that the one true God loves them. And as you know, that message can get you killed, or at least thrown into prison, like what happened with them. Now let's pick it up here today in Acts chapter 17. I couldn't fit all these on the handout. The handout's going to start with verse 16, but let's start from the top. Okay, here we go, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Now last week it was Philippi, and he started the church there. Now Thessalonica, both New Testament books in your Bibles. This is how the church got started, by these guys, especially Paul, traveling here on these missionary journeys. Verse 2, then Paul, as his custom was, he went into them, and for three Sabbaths he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ, or we should say the Messiah, had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Messiah. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women as well joined Paul and Silas. So in just 3 weeks and in three Sabbaths, Paul founded the church here in Thessalonica. And they were a great church. He had nothing but praise for these people, as opposed to Corinth. For Lord only knows how long he was there, 18 months, I think. And he was constantly upset or angry with them. Verse 5, but the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, they took some of the evil men from the marketplace and, gathering a mob, set all of the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. All right, that reading won't exactly cut it here. Let's read that from the King James this morning, shall we? Verse 5, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, they took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Ha ha ha, I love that translation. I asked Pastor Darren, he said in my office, what do you say that was? It was the name of a rock band or something. And it really is a rock band here, because these lewd fellows of the baser sort are going to be carrying some rocks with them. So, lewd fellows of the baser sort, and they gathered a company and set all of the city in an uproar. And they assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Verse 6, but when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and they're all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. All right, so there's the first charge against them, that he's turned the world upside down. Better yet, we should say he's turned this world right side up, right? It's this world out here today which is upside down. But there's nothing worse than when lewd fellows of the baser sort are after you. And they'll dog you too, just like they did him. You see, when you invade the enemy's territory, then the enemy will organize some lewd fellows of the baser sort, and they'll come out after you. They lie about you. They say all kinds of evil about you. We read in the Old Testament of a man named Nadab who refused to sell his family property to the evil king Ahab. Then all of a sudden, his wife Jezebel gathers together some lewd fellows of the baser sort, and they do what they do best: lie and conspire to bring you down. When the Lord Jesus invaded enemy territory, out came the lewd fellows of the baser sort. We found this man saying, remember? And they lied about him. Stephen, the first martyr of the church, we read about in Acts chapter 6. When you don't like the message, then you gather together some lewd fellows of the baser sort, and you do what you do. Lie. To lie is their way. To lie is to reveal who you belong to. Right? I mean, Jesus said you were of your father, the devil, because he was a liar from the beginning. When that's what you do, you're revealing who your daddy is, really. Look, no practicing liar will ever see the inside of heaven. There's a soundbite for your radio tomorrow. It's truth. Listen to this proverb. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and run into evil, and a false witness who speaks lies. He said it twice in the same verse. And one who sows discord among brethren. Now, this was Paul's life as a Christian. Happened everywhere that he went. Have you ever had lewd fellows of a baser sort, liars, say something really bad about you that wasn't true? You just need to keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing the right thing and leave the payback up to the Lord. Remember, he says, we read about it in Romans 12:19. He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. When you're doing the right thing, there's a bunch of evil, base, evil people out here. They want to see you fall. When you're doing the right thing now, when you're walking with God now, when you've cleaned up your life and you're walking with him, out come these lewd, evil fellows of the baser sort, and they'll lie about you, and they're trying to trip you up and get you. Leave the payback up to the Lord for this. Verse 10, then the brethren, immediately they sent Paul and Silas by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Now look at how these Bereans dealt with something that they did not know, or haven't heard before, or were instructed out of the word. It says, they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were true. And may I say that that's always the correct way for us to do it, like we do here in this church. And I encourage you all to do the same thing as well. On the bottom of practically every sermon handout is, you see it, book, chapter, and verse, right? For everything that I'm going to say here. Now, Pastor Darren over here is a modern-day Perry Mason. Building a case and presenting evidence. No one in the galaxy is better than that man at building a case and presenting the evidence. And like I said, if you don't agree with what I say, ask Pastor Darren. He'll tell you what's required of you every time, right? And that is, bring your Bibles. Bring your Bible. Because the Word of God is the final authority here, and always should be, and it is here. If you have an objection, bring your Bible. Because we do like the Bereans do. We search the Scriptures to find out whether or not if what we heard is true or not. Like when I say to you, no liar will inherit the kingdom of heaven, instead of saying, I don't agree with that, bring your Bible. Look it up in your Bible and see what the Word says. It's Revelation chapter 1. Read it for yourself. Outside, we're all liars. Not someone who is told a lie. Otherwise, no one would be in heaven except Jesus. but a practicing liar. There's a difference between the adjective and a noun. Everyone has lied. When lying, when you are a liar, then you just got to make it right. That's all. That's why you're here today, to make it right. That's why we pray the power to change would be present here. When the Lord reveals certain things to you, it's because He wants you to make it right. You make it right, He obliterates your sins, He remembers them no more, and you walk out this door righteous. That's all. All right, now back to these Bereans here, verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul, they brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. Okay, so what do we have? The Jews complained because people were getting saved, ultimately. Imagine that. I mean, how demonic is that? Do you see what happens when God is against you and not for you? First of all, you think good is evil. The Bible says that God gave the Jews a spirit of stupor. Romans 11:8. Eyes that they should not see. Ears that they should not hear, down to this very day. And the end of result is, you want to kill people. You want to kill people because they are getting saved. Lewd fellows of the baser sort, like the gay man who assassinated Charlie Kirk. Okay, Paul's in Athens. He has a week probably before his buddies arrive. So now he's going to hang out in Athens some and see what's going on there. Verse 16. Now, when Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Personally speaking, many times this is where sermons come for me as well. Something spontaneous, something from my surroundings, or from something that I read. Verse 17, therefore, he reasoned in the synagogues with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily were those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, what is this seed picker trying to say? Babbler. Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. You see, you can't preach Jesus without the resurrection, can you? They're inseparable. You can't preach Jesus without the resurrection. Receive Christ and rise again. Receive Christ and live again. There's no separating the two. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has what? Raised him up from the dead. You will be saved. Romans 10:9. All right, verse 19. So they took him and they brought him to the Areopagus. Okay, now Aries means Mars. Remember that? There's going to be a quiz later. Aries, A-R-E-S, Aries. Means Mars. Don't forget it. That's why the King James Version here has Mars Hill, Areopagus. So they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak. For you're bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. All right, now Paul's answer is textbook. Matter of fact, it is textbook. Seminary textbook. On how to preach a sermon. This is in textbooks of seminaries all over the world. Looking at Paul's sermon here with how to do it right. So you start with a compliment. Verse 22. If you have a King James version here, it's not a compliment. That's because this is the only time this Greek word here is used. And they don't know how to translate it. It can either mean something good, or it can be something sarcastic or something not good. Verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive in all things that you are very religious." You see, he starts with a compliment. But the King James translators have, "I see in all things that you're too superstitious." So, this is the only time this Greek word is used. They really don't know. We really just tell from the context here as we're moving. See, I think he's complimenting them first. "I can see how you people are very religious." So he's excellent, he's saying. "I'm glad that you are religious. I'm grateful that you all agree to the existence of God. Now, speaking of God," verse 23, "for as I was passing through and considered the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription." It said, "Pros agnosto theo," that is, "to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I want to proclaim to you." That is just absolutely brilliant what this man just did. He took an inanimate object he found in the town square. He took a sign just in case the Greeks had forgotten any god. They put a little sign up there. Oh, yeah, we're just going to. You see, now I can see why the King James translated that little too superstitious, right? Just in case we forgot someone, we're going to put a sign over there that says "Pros agnosto theo." Just in case I forgot someone, we'll put that little sign there. Then we're covered, right? I mean, that's kind of superstitious, right? So actually, both are right. He continues. "God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things." You see, it's good that you people want to worship God, but God is not who you think he is what he's saying here. He doesn't need you to bring him a glass of water and leave it here. He doesn't need you to do anything to sustain him, since it is he that gives life and breath and all things to all of us, right? Verse 26. "And he is made from one blood." All right, the one blood would be who? Adam. Someone said Adam, right? "He is made from one blood, every nation of men, to dwell on the face of the earth. And he has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring." Okay, there's another profound statement, and one that I have had to learn the hard way and with much pain and suffering. First off, point number one, But God has determined when you live. That's no accident or chance. God has determined when you live. I mean, how cool is that? Of all the ages that you could have lived, think about it. From Confucius to Napoleon, from George Wash to Abraham Lincoln, from Adam to Moses, God's got you alive in the last hour. And after the rebirth of Israel, he makes no mistakes for when you live. Point number two, God has determined where you live. God has determined where you live. Do you see that? God has determined the boundaries of your dwellings. Now, this is not, he's not talking about Moses or his replacement, Joshua, or the 12 tribes. He's talking to a bunch of Greeks and Gentiles. He's talking to you. God has determined what age you're going to live in. And that age is right here and now. God's determined where you're going to live. God has determined where you are supposed to live. Hear me now. God is talking to you here this morning. Okay? Let me tell you how painful it is to get outside of those boundaries. When you get outside of those boundaries, it's like running against the wind. You're like Jonah on the boat, where everything works against you. Unfortunately, I've done this. I took sin in the workplace personal, and I moved when I shouldn't have moved. God wanted me to be a light in the darkness, but instead I moved when I was supposed to stay right where I was. Don't let sin move you out, but be a light right where you are. Don't say, oh, well, I work amongst a whole bunch of sinners. I can't take it. God must not want me here. He must be calling me to move. Well, maybe he's calling you to do the exact opposite of that. Maybe he wants you to be a light right where you are and make an influence and turn your crooked world whoop, right side up. I made the mistake. My addition was wrong there. Be like Paul. Turn your crooked world right side up. Now, when that happened to me, I lost my Midas touch that I had, like I have now. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Isn't that true? I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be right here in this pulpit at 11:22 on this Sunday morning, 19th of July, year of our Lord, 2026. And everything that I touch is going to be turned to gold. Because that's what he does. I'm in the center of God's will. Get outside of that. You see, you lose all of that when you get outside of God's will and where you're supposed to be.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. A new study that draws on 122 years of mortality rates in the U.S. is offering a window into suicide trends. Rather than focusing on just individual or psychological traits like depression and